We're going to jump into part three of our message series on the battle in our mind. I want to start with this thought with you this morning. The life you have is often a reflection of the thoughts you think. The life you have is often a reflection of the thoughts that you think. This past week, Arlene and I were out, and we ended up having lunch at a little place, and when we checked out, we were up at the counter, and beside the counter there was this circular display that had all kinds of little products on it, things that you could buy, towels and dish towels and oven mitts and things like that. And the top row of this circular display that you could spin around, the top row of it, all the products on that top row had a little cardboard cutout that was on the rack on top of each of the products. And the cardboard cutout said, "If you're easily offended, do not lift and look." Okay? I said to Arlene, I said, "I wonder what that's all about." And she said, "I don't know." And I said, "Well, lift it up and take a look." And she said, "No, I'm not going to do that." And I said, "Well, okay." And so we're checking out, and I had to, it was just like I was just so curious, and a lot of times the curiosity in our mind leads us down a path that we don't want to go. I looked, and she didn't. And then she didn't even want me to tell her what I saw. And for some reason, that is so difficult for me. But when I did that, and I was thinking about this particular sermon this morning, and this thought that I was going to start with, that the life you have is often a reflection of the thoughts that you think. Let me just tell you something. What I saw when I lifted up that little cardboard cover had absolutely nothing positive in any way to add to my life. Matter of fact, I found it a little bit difficult to get that thought out of my mind. You know what I'm saying? And the thing about it is, if I encountered that exact same thing again, I'd probably look again. Just because of the way that my curious mind works. But let me tell you something, folks. A lot of the negative thoughts that you have because you think of negative thoughts. The more you think about anything, the more you think about that thing. And it is so true that our life is so much a reflection of the thoughts that we have. For example, how many of you say, I have a pretty decent life? Raise your hand. I would think all of us comparatively, we have a pretty decent life. We don't have to think about where the next meal comes from. We don't have to think about, any real terrible negative things happening to us. Now we have our moments, we have our difficulties, we have our challenges, sure, but we have a pretty good life. And even when we go through things that are difficult in life, because we go through those difficult things in life, in our situation, they're not as bad. But even though we have such a pretty nice and comfortable condition, don't you find it ironic how easy it is we find things to complain about? How easy it is that when we go through life, pretty good life, nice blessings, how easily our mind goes to things that are negatives. Our mind, like we've said the last couple of weeks, it's a battlefield, and battles are won and lost in the mind first. Here's the text for today. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. Look at this. He says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they are divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obedience in Christ. I want to talk to you today about this particular subject. How do we defeat the negative thoughts that go on in our mind? Well, the first thing that we need to think about is the more we think about negative things, the easier it is to think about negative things. It's called, we mentioned this before, it's called cognitive bias. In other words, we have mental filters. And those mental filters help us to craft the way that we look at the things that go on in our lives. For example, you know, you have a young lady that's raised in a home by an abusive father, has a terrible time as an adult to trust men. You know, if you grow up in a home where people are where you're told that a certain group of people are bad, then you succumb to that as an adult in some ways. In other words, if you're told as a young person that, listen, you know, rich people are bad, rich people are evil, you know, rich people take advantage of everything and everybody. And then when you grow up in that kind of home and you start having success, you feel all this guilt because of where you are in life, because of this filter that you have. The filters you have shape how you see life. And listen, folks, we have the ability to change the filter and look differently at life. You know, I don't know if you know Brendan Hoover. Do you know Brendan? Hope he's here next service so he can hear me say this. Last week, it was so funny because we were talking about this subject last week. And afterward, he said, "Hey, Pastor, can we talk for a minute?" And he took me, we were standing over there at the table, and he had an envelope, and he started just drawing this flow chart about feelings and about life and about the way we look at things. And he basically diagrammed this, and he said about how you know, when you go through, you know, generations, previous generations, and you're taught to look at things a certain way, and how two people can come to totally different conclusions about anything simply because of the way that they look at things. That they look at things differently, and that we have this default kind of filter that we're pre-wired with that we use to interpret what we're looking at and what we're going through. That's how two people can respond differently to the same situations. But here's the thing, folks: in the kingdom of God, when we go through things, we can't change the facts, but we can change the filter. We can change the way that we look at things. And through God's help and through His Word, we can come to this place where you know what? We go through a negative situation where someone is maybe mean to us or out of line with us, but yet we can come out of that situation thankful for what we heard, thankful for what we went through, and have love and devotion for that person. And somebody else can be in that same situation and they can come out bitter and resentful and less than. And you know what I'm saying? But the facts are the same, but the filter that we look at and look through is different. In other words, we can't change what happens to us, but we can change how we look at the things that we're going through. I said to a person one time who said to me about church, they said, "You know, I'm just not being fed." And I said, "How can that be possible if you're not being fed when there's dozens or maybe even hundreds of other people that are being fed?" I said, you know, you're looking at things the wrong way. You're coming in expecting not to grow, not to learn, not to be stretched. The facts are exactly the same. People are going through exactly the same thing, but they end up in totally different places because of the way that they look at it, because of the filter that they use. Moses sent 12 spies to explore the land. Only two came back with a positive report. Think about that. They experienced the same thing. The facts aren't different. But the way that they looked at it was totally different. It's the filter. But here's the thing. It's not just the filter, but it's how we apply the filter. You know, sometimes an object lesson is really good for me, and I'm gonna share something with you here. It's not just the filter, but it's how we frame the filter. Does that look here? How does it look better, like this or like this? It's how you frame it. Remember last week I was talking about the Apostle Paul, and I was talking about in Philippians how he was in jail, how he was in chains, but yet he was positive. Now the guy next to him in another cell, I don't know this for sure, but let's just hypothetically say there's another guy in the next cell that's going through the exact same thing, and he had the exact different outcome and outlook as the Apostle Paul did. What was different? The facts weren't different, but how they framed it was. Paul said, I am here in chains because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Same situation. How you frame it determines how you see it. Creating a different way of looking at a situation or a relationship by changing its meanings. You can't control what happens to you, but you can control how you frame it, how you look at it, what you put around it that draws attention to that particular experience. You ever wanted something in life and experienced, you know, just the opposite? You know, you work hard, you get a degree, you're qualified, but you just keep getting passed over. You know, so many people dream of a great marriage. Maybe they even marry their childhood sweetheart, but their life ends up in a different situation. They find themselves divorced. Whatever you have going on in life and whatever you're experiencing, God wants us to frame it from His point of view. Paul dreamed of going to Rome, of being a preacher, sharing the gospel. But yet in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me really sucks. As a result of the hell I've been through, I'm quitting life group and I'm never coming back to church ever again. Is that what it says?
Nope.
No. Sorry. Yeah, that's the International Whiners version. But if you look at that passage of Scripture, he frames it much different. He says, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Most people would look at Paul's situation and they would say, Paul, that is a terrible situation. That is a bad situation. That is a situation, you know, that they would have all kinds of excuses for what's going on. But Paul was able to frame it. He was able to look at it differently. And what most people would call a terrible situation, a bad situation, Paul said what? This is a good situation. I mean, if you read between the lines, Paul is saying, I'm right where God wants me to be. I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do. You see, he saw it as an opportunity to share with the guards. Matter of fact, if you look at verse 14 in that same passage, the next verse, He says, because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Folks, don't miss this word. Paul said, because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. That is a good thing. Maybe we need to come to this point in life and understand that we don't need to interpret God through our circumstances, but we need to interpret our circumstances through the goodness of God. You know, think about this for a moment. If you're thinking about how do you overcome this kind of negative mind, I mean, have you ever thanked God for what didn't happen? You know, you can focus on what happened, but you can always think about something different that didn't happen, that was worse. Even though what most people would say is going on in your life is not good, we can always say, God, I'm thankful that this didn't happen. You know, a girl tells her parents that she met this guy in a bar. And right away they can fly off the handle, or they can reframe it and say, well, listen, this may not be the best of situations, but at least this didn't happen. You didn't go here. We can do this over and over and over in life. You know, for example, I remember some time ago, my kids, when they were little, we were visiting my mother, and my kids were rummaging around in some bedroom, and they found a whole stack of my report cards from when I was in school. And oh my goodness, did I ever get a talking to? You know, but right away, you know, my mind went, yeah, you know, that's not the best, but, right? Why does our mind always go to what's worse rather than thank God for what necessarily didn't happen? Let me give you a word here to think about. You know, you talk about framing. I think it's important that we learn to not just frame things, but to pre-frame things. Can I think about that? What does that mean? Well, our thoughts or our frames shape what we experience. You know, we all have the same facts, but we can frame those facts. We can shape those facts in such a way that we can declare God's goodness and His working through those things. You know, we can think about how hard things are going to be, or we can think about how challenging things are going to be and how God will bless that challenge. You know, we can talk about things that we never want to do, places that we never want to go, or we can say, you know what, God, if I find myself there, I'm going to make the best of it. In other words, you pre-frame it. You know, you tell yourself that I'm going to thank God for what didn't happen. I'm going to put His goodness and His grace around this part of my life even before I get there. I think I've told you before how often Arlene said to me, as our girls were growing up, she would say to me about praying for their spouses. I mean, you know, got these little kids that are 4 years old, or, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, 10 years old, 15, 16 years old. So, you know, you pray for their spouse. They're out there somewhere. That's an example of pre-framing it. It made so much sense to me when our daughter Sarah was Mark proposed to her, and he invited his family and our family to this dinner, and he got down on his knee and asked Sarah to marry him. And I remember Arlene saying to Mark at that particular time, said, "You know, I've been praying for you for 20 some years. I just didn't know your name." Pre-frame it. You know, instead of just rolling with the winds and the turmoil and the currents of life, Let's shape God and look at God through this enormous filter called faith. And let's don't allow the facts of our life, even the bad situations of our life, to take us to a pit. You know, I heard a sermon one time called "From the Pit to the Palace." And of course, it was a sermon about the Old Testament life of Joseph and how he went from the pit to the palace. And you remember when he was in the pit? What happened to him and how he responded to it? He responded to it with this beautiful frame of faith. And he said at one time in this situation, he said, "You know what? When his brothers came to him, what you meant for evil, God used for good." And the Bible is so clear that God can use every situation in our life for our benefit when we love him. Because you know what? If you want to see the bad, the negative, the challenges, that's what you'll see. If you want to see the good, the positive, the opportunities, God will help you do that. Especially when you frame and pre-frame with God in the picture. Let Jesus help you decide. You know, I was talking to someone recently, and they were talking about going through COVID. Oh my, how quickly we forget, but that was a tough time, wasn't it? That was a tough time. But I do say that God used those that remained positive through those difficult times. And today we stand at this place, and God has given us the opportunity to frame our life from his point of view. Because you never know what great things are ahead, even when you think that you are at the bottom or at the lowest. I remember having a conversation with a man named Bob in this congregation many years ago. He was in the hospital. He had a heart that was just gone. And he was getting a heart transplant. And he was at death's door. He got his transplant. And then sometime later, years later, I heard him recite a list of the blessings that he'd received after that transplant. Life and happiness and joy. Grandchildren being born. Great-grandchildren being born. Trips that he took. Opportunities of to live by faith. All because he got that new lease on life. You see, folks, if God works in all things for good, then reject the unhealthy default frames of being a loser, a failure, you're not smart enough, you're not good enough, you never will become anything substantial. And reframe your life. You can't change your facts of your life, but you can reframe your circumstances, and you can actively interpret God in the picture. And when you interpret God being in the picture, there's nothing outside his ability to do. You see, folks, you need to interpret your circumstances through the goodness of God. Paul said that what had happened to him actually served to advance the gospel. You can't control what happens to you, but you can control how you frame it. And it's all about an unwavering trust in him. You know, I think about my own life and my upbringing and the challenges that my mother had as a single mother raising seven children and the circumstances around, you know, all of that. And I think about where all of us are today. And I just realized that really happiness and joy and success came from this frame called faith that our mother gave us, taught us about, modeled every day that she lived. And my family, we have that. So whatever happens next, I want to be like Paul. I want to be sitting in the corner of my jail cell in chains, knowing that I am right where God wants me and needs me to be. We just need to look at what the opportunities are rather than the chains that we're shackled in. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I do thank you for this wonderful morning that you've given us. God, so many times our life is a reflection of what we think. So God, help us to think about good things. Help us, Lord, to think about you and faith and grace and love and mercy. God, help us not to be overwhelmed by our fears, by our pains, by our limitations, by our circumstances, by anything, Lord, that the devil throws at us. The devil thought he defeated Jesus until he realized that God was in the picture. To look and examine the life of Paul, he seems defeated until you realize that he had reframed the whole situation to see God in the midst of it. Too often, Lord, I think that we see our circumstances and we ask God why, instead of looking at our circumstances and asking God, what now? God, how do you want me to pivot in this situation to bring you honor and glory and praise? Lord, it all starts in our mind. And the more we think about something, the more we think about something. So God, just help us to fill our mind with goodness and grace and mercy, faith in you. And Lord, may we use that to frame how we look at our circumstances. And Lord, allow you to work through each one. God, I know every person in this room today is going through a situation right now that they could practically use this teaching in. Whatever we're going through, Lord, whatever we're experiencing, whatever is before us, whatever, Lord, we're praying about and we're hoping for, God, help us to use this teaching to put us in exactly the place that you want us to be. It may not be the place that we want to be, but Lord, it's the best place for us because you've got great things in store. And I pray, Lord, that we'd be a part of that each and every day. Father, as we sing this song together, I just pray, Lord, that our mind, that our thoughts would be full of you and of your grace and of your mercy. And help us, Lord, to repent, Father, of those negative, evil, ugly thoughts that we have in our minds. And, Lord, think on you. And that whatever our future holds, Lord, you're already there, preparing the way for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.